Thank you, Carol. That's what it's all about, isn't it? The victory we have in Jesus. I don't want you to know I'm all wired up here this morning. But I'm not going to explode. Just want you to be aware of that. However, little boy returns home. Mama says, well, how was Sunday school? I said, I don't know. So what do you mean, don't know? Well, we studied how Moses delivered the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. Really? Yeah? You know, he said when they got out to the Red Sea and Pharaoh was coming on with his army, Moses had them dig trenches, dug down in the foxholes. They got the tanks and started fighting off the Egyptian and had airplanes coming in, bombing them and just doing all that element to hold them off because they had to build a bridge. So he got his engineers together, and they started building this bridge across the Red Sea. Once he got the bridge all done, then he said that all the Israelites, the children, everyone got across the sea. Meanwhile, he said he had the frogmen going out and swimming down underneath the bridge, putting dynamite on it and whatever. And so when the Egyptians got right out in the middle of it, they just exploded the bridge and killed all the Egyptians. Mom said, now, I don't really believe that's what your Sunday school teacher said. Well, no, Mom, but if I told you what she said, you wouldn't believe it either. We notice in our text that Paul had an earnest desire to go see the Thessalonians, to see them face to face. But then he said something very significant. He said, Satan has hindered me. Satan has hindered me. The Greek word hinder comes out of the background of a war term. It's where someone does whatever they can to keep someone from reaching a destination, a goal, whatever. It has the idea, if you will, of a destroying, a destruction of a railroad, bridges, a road, doing whatever. And all of you have seen movies in the war. Did you know that on D-Day, the 1st Infantry's responsibility, once they were able to reach their destination, they were to go in and destroy bridges. They would destroy railroads. They were to hinder the German from being able to come and to reenact with the Americans and the English and the French, etc., etc. That was their first destination, destroy anything that will hinder the Nazis from being able to reach this destination. Satan is a master bridge destroyer. There's no one better than Satan at destroying bridges and roads and railroads to stop us, stop people, stop circumstances in life from reaching their potential, their destination, or whatever they may be. Because bridges is important. I watched a whole movie one time called The Bridge of River Kwai. You remember that movie? That's all the movie was about, was this bridge. And how important it was to blow it up. How important it was to destroy it, to hinder, as it was, I believe, the Japanese from being able to proceed and accomplish his task. So Satan is a master bridge build destroyer. His interest is that he will do anything within his power to hinder us, to stop our progress, to stop us and keeping us from reaching our potential, our goal, whether it be individually, as a congregation, or whatever. He's going to do that. He's going to do that. He's going to hinder us. He's going to blow out and destroy whatever he can to help and keep you from doing and reaching the plan of God for your life. I think one of the issues, however, is that many times you and I get up in the morning, we go our merry way, and we forget that he exists. We forget that there is an evil force and power in the prince of the air that's controlling the world, and that he's adverse to you. He wants to destroy you, and he's very good at what he does, and he is a master at it. And that you and I need to be completely convinced and aware and get up every day realizing that we are in a spiritual warfare. and that Satan is real. He is real as the sun coming up in the morning, setting down in the evening. He is real. Jesus believed he was real. He didn't talk about him as a figment of some imagination or a fantasy. Jesus said in John 3:8, the Son of Man appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. The word destroy there is the same Greek word translated hinder. I've come to hinder him, to destroy him and his ability to do what he has been doing. I've come to enter into the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of Beelzebub. I've come to bind him, to hinder him from accomplishing his purpose. I have come to do that, Jesus said. He was tempted of Satan for 40 days and 40 nights, remember? But he overcame, didn't he? Huh? And didn't he not say to all of us, fear not, little ones, for I have overcome the world. He overcame Satan. He overcame him. He really did. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul writes, he says, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. You understand that anyone and everyone that's not in the kingdom, that has not received the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit within them, that they are in a domain of darkness and under his power? You do understand that, don't you? Is it surprising to you that there is so much evil and corruption in the world in which you live in today? You know, you think about, oh, how bad it is today. Well, you ought to go back in history and see how bad it was during the Roman Empire, during the process of different other nations and kingdoms and how they ruled the people. Abortion is not new. The Babylonians killed their babies. I mean, you can read it. That's all over in history. It was horrifying what they did. And all these false religions where they literally took their babies and sacrificed them to this unknown God that they themselves had created within their own minds and their concept. Do you realize what a different world we live in because Jesus Christ came and his power of leaven has indeed made a big difference in the world today that you live in anyway? And we can't deny that. Ephesians chapter 4, 26, 27, Bible says, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and do not give the devil an opportunity. That's interesting. Somebody asked a man, how in the world have you made it for 60 years with your wife? He said, well, he said, my wife and I never go to sleep angry. And he says, the longest it's been so far, it's been 5 months that we have had to stay awake. Don't give Satan an opportunity. There's something about anger, isn't there? The aspects of it, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so they might not see the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Again, that they might not see it, hinder it, keep them from being able to appreciate and love and see the beauty of the gospel. You know, I mean, I've been in revivals and places. There's no doubt in my mind that that has been and that happens. I mean, Satan's here this morning. I don't care whether you like it or not. I said he's here today. Because he can do anything and everything to keep you from hearing whatever the Word of God has to say. He's going to keep you thinking about what you got to do this afternoon, what's happening this and all that. He's going to keep your mind occupied with whatever he can keep it occupied with, because he does not want the truth to permeate down into the point that you wake up every day saying, I know he is real and he will do everything he can to take me to hell with him. That's his goal. I mean, that is his goal, okay? Matthew 13, 18 and 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in the heart. He hinders, he snatches it. He literally takes the word of God right out of people's hearts. Why? Why does he do that? Because he goes on in Luke and says, so that they will not believe and be saved. So whenever the word of God is being preached, whenever you're reading the word of God, you need to be aware. To be aware. You remember, you know how many times the Bible says pray, but be alert? Be alert. Be alert. Be alert about what? Because your adversary. Be alert, because there's no time he's going to attack you more than any other time is when you really want to go to God in prayer. He's going to hinder you. You're going to do everything because he knows that once God gets your heart and your desire, I believe Satan quivers and hell quivers because God is going to move. God answers our prayers, people, and Satan knows that. And he's going to do everything he can to hinder our prayer life and keep us from being a people of prayer. Acts 26:18, talking to Saul, God, who had chosen to become the apostle to the Gentile world, says that I chose you so that you may turn from darkness to light the Gentile world and from the dominion, if you will, the dominion of Satan to God. That was Paul's calling, was do what? Take the gospel to the Gentile world. For what? So that they would turn from the domain of Satan and to the kingdom of God. Oh, remember Colossians 2:13? Paul says that you and I have been taken by God and transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Thank you, God. 1 Timothy 5:15, for some have already turned aside to follow Satan. What are you talking about? You mean people really do make a choice to follow him? Well, if you want to know how to do it, all you got to do is go to, out to MSU, to most of our secular colleges. They have evening classes on how to worship the devil. They do, and your taxes are paying for it. If you want to know how to worship Satan and become a part of that world, there's classes being taught in our secular school that how you can do that. Isn't that crazy? But it's true that people literally will turn to him, not to God. James 4:7, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Last but not least, Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking up the shield of faith, which we heard some about today, which you are able, will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So anyone here not believe that Satan isn't real? If you don't believe he's real, then you're in complete disharmony with the scriptures because God's word says he is. Oh, and matter of fact, it was God who approached him back all the way back in Genesis. Remember, after he had bled Eve into sin, etc., etc., and he said to Satan that there was going to be a baby boy, a son, a male child born of a woman, and he will come into the world, and even though you hinder him a little by giving him a minor injury, he's going to crush you. Remember that? That's all the way back. And for as I'm concerned, all Old Testament history is to show how God kept that promise. That Jesus did come into the world for a purpose, and his purpose was to destroy the works of the devil, to destroy every bridge, every road, every railroad, whatever he could, to destroy it, to destroy it. The aspect of that, of course, is how does that mean? Well, God's word desires and shows the reality of it, that he is powerful, that he is the prince of this world, that he is an adversary. His desire is to destroy people's lives. And to that aspect, there are several bridges that he desires to destroy. I'm going to share one with you this morning, and we're going to look at five others. If you become aware of the bridge he wants to destroy, then you will protect it. Right? Huh? So I want to show you some things that I believe God's word is very clear about and what Satan would do and how he would do it if he wanted to really destroy you and your walk of faith, how he would accomplish that purpose. Did you know the word priest? Out of the Hebrew means bridge builder. Did you know that a priest, the word priest, is a bridge builder? He is an interceder between one to another. Jesus is a high priest. He is the bridge builder that builds the way and the only way back to God. Did you understand that? So if Jesus Christ is the bridge builder, which bridge do you think Satan would focus on? Huh? Which one would he destroy most? Well, he would destroy the one that indeed is the only bridge that will access people back into a reconciled relationship with the Lord God, the creator of the universe. Wouldn't he? Huh? Wouldn't he? And so that is exactly what he's done and what he's doing, and he does it in many different ways. There are so many bridges, but the one major bridge is that Jesus Christ came into the world to reconcile us back to God, to bridge the way. I am the way. No one comes unto God but through me. Amen? But let's look at it a little simpler. One bridge Satan would destroy is making it difficult for any one of us to recognize him. He would disguise himself in such a way that you would never know that he's at work and doing his dirty work. You know, I think if Satan was standing here, he would say to you, "Let me tell you something, people. I want you to know that I'm not dressed in a red suit. I don't have a red tail. I don't have a red fork. I don't have horns. I just want you to know that. That is not how I would appear to you if I was going to come to you. I would not appear in that kind of get-up." Okay? So how in the world would he appear? Well, remember Paul said and admonishes us to put on the full armor of God. Remember that? To be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Remember that? Why? Because he says you need to be able to stand against the schemes. The schemes. You ever looked up the word scheme? You understand what a schemer is? Well, a schemer is an individual who has a plan, and he arranges that plan orderly, and he puts a strategy behind it, and he's going to plug it into darkness because he especially is going to keep it from being able to be seen. He doesn't want any light turned. He hates the light. So he's going to appear, and he's going to be in the shadows, in the darkness. And he has one thing. He is devious. He is smart. He is intelligent. He has a reason. He knows what to do, and he knows how to cause harm and destroy your life. He knows it. He has a strategy. A scheme. He's a schemer. Okay? He's a schemer. In fact, if you have your Bibles, look to 2 Corinthians, if you will, this morning, and let's just prove, if you will, from God's Word exactly what God's Word says about him. I know you've read this, but let's read it together. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 12, he says in verse 12, he begins, "But what am I doing? I will continue to do, so that I may cut off opportunity for those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting." In other words, there were those who were declaring themselves to be apostles. Those who were going about trying to pretend and play the role that they were had and they had received the calling from God, and they were, and Paul says, "I am hindering them. I want to cut off the opportunity. I want you to be able to divine them in every aspect." And they're going around, of course, boasting. "But such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ." What? Disguising themselves as being apostles. Wow. No wonder. Are you there? No wonder, because even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. "Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise them as servants of righteousness, whose ends will be according to their deeds." Wow. So if I was Satan, man, I'm telling you, last thing I'd do be running around with a red suit on so everybody know who I am. No, I'm going to disguise myself. And there are those who are his apostles following him who are disguising themselves to be false apostles. In fact, you will read those in the context. Jude mentions them. Jude mentions false apostles, men declaring themselves to be apostles, that aspect of it. You'll find in 3 John, Paul mentions a man who is, if you will, kicking people out of the fellowship and telling them not to accept any teaching from the apostle, because if you do, I'm going to excommunicate you. That's all way back in 3 John. Remember that? We studied that, right? So there are those aspects of it. There's a movement today out in Salt Lake City. I've studied it way back when I was younger, and they basically believe they still have apostles. And those apostles are basically ordained of God, etc., etc. But if you know Scripture, you know there were qualifications for someone to be an apostle, to take, if you will, Judas's place. Those qualifications said very clearly they had to be an eyewitness. And they had to have been with Jesus from his baptism until his ascension. Okay? Well, there's no one that could fit those qualifications. You see, whenever God selects someone that's going to be put into a leadership role within his kingdom, he always has qualifications. He didn't leave us wanting for qualifications of who's supposed to be a spiritual leader called an elder, right? Or a servant called a deacon, us. I mean, the point is, God is not crazy. God isn't foolish. God is wise. And you know, Satan would do everything he can to create a different concept of leadership within the realm of the kingdom. Now, let me go further than that, okay? The point of issue is Jesus gave you the parable of the tares. Have you read it lately? Well, let's read it, Matthew 13. And let's see what Jesus had to say about the element of the tares. The tares are a weed. Nothing but a weed. It's not truly a stem of wheat. It's a weed. But when it's in its younger age and it's growing, it looks identical to wheat. You can't discern. You can't decipher between whether or not. The only time you can really come to know whether or not it's a tare or a wheat is when it's ready to be harvested. The head develops. And then you can define it. That is not wheat. That is a weed called a tare, okay? And so what we have here in this parable, Jesus talks a parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. We know the good seed is the word of God. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, went away. But when the wheat sprouted, bore grain, then the tares became evident also. Notice, when they were ready to be harvested, sprouted, then it became evident. Wait a minute. That is a weed called the tare. All right. The slaves of the landholder came, said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." An enemy has done this. Oh, yeah. And he said to them, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" And what did he say? "No, for while you're gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until when?" So as long as the kingdom of God is on the face of the earth, Satan has planted these tares, has planted these tares, and they're going to keep right on growing together until the harvest day. And Satan's going to keep you from being able to defer and to keep you from being able to define what is truly wheat from the word of God. And what has the devil planted? Where did he plant it? In the kingdom. You know what it says? And for people to think there aren't false doctrine, false apostles, false teachers, claim under the umbrella of Christianity that everybody who, no matter what, well, everybody's the same. No, they're not. I get sick and tired of saying, well, that they're almost like. Yeah, well, okay. So they're almost like what? They're almost like a stem of wheat, but they're really not. And now what it'll be? Think about it. "Allow both to grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers," and we know there are angels, "first gather up the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn." So I really believe that if I was the devil and I wanted to destroy one bridge that I believe will have tremendous impact on people's lives, I would disguise myself so nobody would know. That people wouldn't even be able to discern what is true and what isn't true. What's real, what's not real. And they're all growing together. They're all growing together in the kingdom. Isn't that what it said? Isn't that the picture? And they won't be defined until when? Till when? Till the judgment day. Till the harvest day. And then the separation will take place. Okay? Now I want you to notice who's taken first. The tares are taken first. Then comes the taking of the wheat into the barn. You know that? Premillennials say who's taken first. The church is taken first. And who's left? Nowhere in the biblical text does it say that. It always says that the evil ones are taken first. Then there are those who are God's people, and they will be exalted. Okay? The aspect of that is unbelievable. But note, if you will, that Satan is a master schemer. Tares are planted in the kingdom by the evil one. Good seed is the word of God. They grow together until the harvest, the judgment day, and you're going to be gathered out of the kingdom. You know what it said? They're going to be gathered out of the kingdom. So how can there be total unity in the kingdom when there are all of this happening and going on? You understand that? There's no way in the world that tares and wheat can be unified. There's no way that you and I as true, I mean, we're supposed to be able to know the truth. We're supposed to be able to discern what is true and what is not. Satan is the father of all lies, isn't he? Satan is the father of all false teachers and false preaching and all the other elements that it goes on. In Matthew 7:15, Jesus said, Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are like what? They disguise themselves like sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. That's one of the aspects. So I saw a sign the other day as I was driving, and it said, slow, caution, little children playing. Then I said, wait a minute, I'm not afraid of little children. That's not what the sign was referring to. But I know this. This book says to me, and if Satan was going to stand up here before you and tell you what this book says, he'd have to say, I'm a roaring lion. I'm prowling. I'm seeking. I'm going to devour anyone that I can. That's what this book tells me about him. And that's what, if he was going to speak the truth, would have to say. But he's not going to say that. He's a liar, a deschemer, a disguiser. He's going to make it very clear that you and I doesn't and would not recognize him when he comes, whatever it comes. The aspect of that is unbelievable. You know what? I may not be scared of little children, but if some lion was prowling and seeking to devour me, and I knew that he was right there behind me, I think I'd be scared. And I don't think I'd sit there and wait for him to do his job. I think I would flee. Oh, flee fornication. Flee this, flee that, flee. Flee, right? Get away from it. Man, I tell you, I don't want to have anything to do with false teaching. I will flee it. It's impossible for me to be able to identify myself as a child of God when I know there's a devil out there doing his work. And he is so clever. He's such a schemer. He is so well at planning and developing. And he's been a master at dividing the kingdom of God. He just mastered it. Because I really firmly am convinced the one weapon he has more than any other weapon is division. Divide. Churches, families, marriages, you name it. Anyway, next week we'll look at some more bridges. Okay? because he wants to destroy and hinder us. And he's going to work on destroying several bridges in our lives. And you need to identify them. Otherwise, you need to be able to define and recognize that there is a devil. He is real. And you better be able to see him beyond his sheep's clothing, recognize that he is a lion, a ravenous wolf, and he has one purpose, and that's to destroy your life and mine. Amen? That's what he's doing, okay? So, stand up for Jesus. That's our song. That's our invitation. If you're here today and not a Christian, not a child of God, then I'm telling you, you're under the domain of Satan. You're in his kingdom. And God wants to transfer you from that element of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of his dear son. We are not children of darkness. We're children of the light. And you need to be taken by God and placed into that kingdom. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God and you know that you've sinned, then you need those sins forgiven, then the blood of Jesus Christ is the only way those sins can be forgiven. And in baptism, God promises to apply that blood to your sins, wash them away, rise you to a new life in Christ, and begin a whole new walk. Not in darkness anymore. Walk in the light. If we're the children of God, we're to walk in the light as he is in the light. Amen? And we certainly invite you to come and do that if you have that decision to make. Stand up, stand up. And if you're a Christian, then for the Lord's sake and for the glory of God, stand up for what you believe. Okay? Let's sing it together.